Well, you got a big smile on your face. What's been happening?
Oh, on the way here, I met my friend Mary, who had her second baby this week on her way to the hospital.
On her way to the hospital?
Oh, yes. Her husband pulled over and got to the back door of the car just in time to catch the baby popping out. Then they noticed they were parked next to a tourist bus full of people. They saw more on their trip than was planned.
Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol with you again for our second special Easter program. We're going to hear some more about the Easter story later and all that happened after Jesus died. But first,
the baby was fine, breathing, but still attached by the cord. So they laid him on his mother's belly and headed to the hospital to finish the process.
Oh, am I glad that wasn't me.
Or me. But it made me think about being born while still attached. The baby had not fully separated from its mother. Hi, I'm Tammy. I'm so pleased to be with you again. We don't often think about how we start life with the pain and the loss of separating from the lovely, safe, warm womb we started in. But we have Fran here today to share some thoughts with us about this kind of pain. She's a counselor, and she often talks with people who have lost something or someone important to them. Welcome, Fran.
I was thinking about grief and loss, and I was reminded of how we constantly move through that cycle of being attached and close, then separating, feeling sad about the loss, and then attaching again in new situations. It happens to all of us, doesn't it? We may get close to a friend, then they move away, or we move away, and we find a new friend.
It's strange to think about birth as the first separation in a long line of separations we'll have in our lives. I guess, like lots of things, we have to finish something to be able to start new things, don't we? Finishing is often difficult. Maybe that's why babies cry when they're born. It's sad separating from mom to start this new life.
Yes. We're so looking forward to the start of life with a new baby, we don't really think about the finishing of their secure life within us.
No, we don't.
And I think lots of finishings are like that. We would rather not think about the pain of endings, so we just look forward to the new start. I'm finishing a job soon, and I find myself focusing on what I'm moving on to so I don't have to think about the sadness of the people I will miss, who I have been very close to for a long time.
I can understand that. We seem to talk about grief and loss in our lives over big stuff like deaths and tragedies. But you're talking about everyday things, like job changes and maybe moving to a new house.
I've heard that saying, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. It's easy to say, but I think it glosses over the pain of loss. For some people, losing loved ones causes such terrible grief that they never recover. So, Fran, are you really saying grief and loss is a constant part of life?
That's right. In a way, we can't talk about loss and grief without talking about the importance of relationships. We seem to accept grief when someone dies, but actually we're constantly experiencing grief in our lives as we lose things and people that are important to us. I believe we are designed by God to be close to others. We need others for our sense of well-being, to feel good about ourselves. In a good relationship, we feel valued, don't we? Important and loved, that we matter. And when we lose someone with whom we have felt some of those good feelings, we miss them. We feel sad. Now, in my culture, we're taught to keep our feelings hidden so that when there is loss, we try not to show our sadness. That's really not healthy. I wonder if this happens in your culture. You see, grieving a loss is a natural process with strong feelings that at times can overwhelm us. We may feel we will never recover, but if we let ourselves go through those feelings, we will get to the place where we're ready to pick up and carry on with our lives. The memories and the good feelings in those memories live on inside us, and they're always there for us to go back to.
So, is grieving the same for all of us?
No, not at all. We will all do it in our own way and time. But there are some feelings we recognize as part of this process. Let's think about someone who finds out that they have a terminal illness. They're going to die. After the shock of finding out, a person may not be able to face what's happening. So they try to carry on as normal, almost pretending nothing has changed. They can't believe it's happening to them. Well, we call this denial, and it's a way of coping while we come to terms with bad news. Then, as they realize it's true, they may get angry. Maybe they're cross with themselves if they feel they've done things to cause it, or angry it's happening to them, and often angry with God. They may say, "Why me?" And they want to bargain with God or with others. "If I do this, will I get better?" Or they might say to God, "If I live for you, will you heal me?"
On Women of Hope today, we're talking about grief and loss. Some time ago, you talked with us about depression. Fran, is that a part of grieving?
Well, it may be. We've talked about denial and anger and bargaining. There may come a time when we have lost all hope and feel powerless. We can't get back what we've lost, maybe a loved one or good health or anything else that we value. And this can be a dark and despairing place. Sometimes people get stuck here and develop depression, and then they may need some help. However, as we gradually accept that we are going to lose something, or accept that we have lost someone, we begin to come to terms with that loss and make the choice to go on, to pick up and continue to build our life.
So for someone who's dying, compared to, say, someone who's struggling to live after a friend or a partner has died, is the grief different?
In some ways, yes. But we may still experience some of the feelings we've just been talking about, denial and anger and bargaining. However, the way we cope depends on our personality as well as the circumstances we're facing. I was thinking about my father's slow death and how we were able to talk a lot together as he was dying. We said a lot of important things in that time, so I was ready to accept his death before it happened. This was quite different from when my friend was killed on a motorbike, and it felt such a waste and I got really mad with God about it. It took much longer to reach a place of acceptance because I was so unprepared. I had lots of "if only" thoughts. Like, if only she hadn't gone out on the bike that day, she wouldn't have had the accident.
So are there ways that we can help when someone suffers a loss?
There certainly are. The most important one is just being there and letting the person who is sad talk about it if they want to, or not talk about it if they don't want to. I heard a lovely story a while ago of a man who popped over to see his grieving neighbour whenever he saw him sitting on the back deck in the evening. They would watch the stars together, often without saying a word. As summer was ending, the neighbour said, "I think I can get on now. It's been good sorting out my memories with you."
Oh, that was special. And because the neighbour sat with him, even though he didn't say much, the man was able to think about the person that he'd lost and sort out his memories.
Yes. But there are times when it is important to talk about the person or situation that has been lost. Often, particularly when someone has died, people stop talking about them, don't they? They think that by not mentioning the one who's died, it might be easier for the person who's sad. But actually, the opposite is true. Talking and sharing memories of the one who has died is usually helpful.
I've often heard people say things like, "He should be over it by now," or, It's time she got on with her life and stopped feeling sorry for herself. I know the Bible says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time for dancing. But how long does it take?
Well, Tammy, that's the big question. You're right that people often expect others to get over it quickly. We can accept people being sad for a short time, but then we expect them to return to normal. When there's a big loss in our life, we don't return to normal, if by normal we mean how we used to be. If my husband died, I would never get back to being how I was. I would eventually move on, but I'd be the new me. I would be different. Loss changes us.
So, some people will take much longer to grieve than others.
They certainly will. We can't hurry another person. Supporting someone in their grief, however long it takes them, is very loving.
And people have so many different ways of grieving.
Yes, they do. Some of us grieve by keeping to ourselves for a while, spending time alone. Others throw themselves back into work and daily routines and try not to feel the pain. But that probably means they take longer to really work through a serious loss. However, going back to routines can give us a structure that helps us cope when we feel everything is falling apart. But we can only do it in our own way and in our own time. So it's important as a friend to stay alongside a grieving person and let them do what they need to do to cope. But having said that, some people do get stuck in their grief, and they may need help from a counsellor so they can move on.
Now, Fran, is grieving something we get better at with practice?
Yes, it sounds funny to talk of practicing grief, but you're quite right. If we grieve the small losses in our life well, in a sense we do practice. But, of course, some losses we're never really ready for. And some people certainly seem to have more than their fair share of sadness and loss.
And how do children grieve?
That's a very important question. When we are sad as children and our parents support us well, that is good practice for the future.
So how do we as parents support them as they grieve?
I think we can help our children to learn to handle loss by being there and allowing them to be sad about the losses in their life as they're growing up. Don't tell them not to cry or not to be sad. I don't think grief ever gets easier, but we do learn that we can get through it and recover.
Thank you so much. I've learned so much today about grief and the different feelings we may experience. Denial, anger, and bargaining. Then maybe even depression. But finally, acceptance.
And the part I remember the most is when someone is grieving, the best we can do is just be there for them. Stay their friend and let them talk about it when they're ready. Have you suffered the death of anyone close to you? Someone you love? A child who has been taken away from you ahead of time? Or an adult that you have lived with for years? You will know what the pain is like.
Back in history, when Jesus lived on this earth, people were sometimes crucified if they had broken the law. It was a terrible and miserable death. A cross was laid on the ground, to which the hands and feet were nailed. It was then lifted up and fixed upright, so that the weight of the body hung on the nails till the sufferer died in agony.
We can well imagine how Jesus suffered on that cross, but how painful it must have been for Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all of his disciples. And they would have felt so powerless to help him, just as you might have felt when you watched your loved one suffer.
The Bible tells us that after Jesus died on the cross, they took his body and wrapped it with fragrant-smelling spices and strips of linen cloth. This was the burial custom in those days. Now, near the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden with a new tomb where no one had yet been buried. They laid Jesus' body in the tomb, rolled a big stone against the entrance, and went away. The women who had been watching all day waited till they saw where Jesus was laid, and then went to their homes to prepare spices and perfumes. Jesus died on a Friday, and nothing more could be done until after Saturday, the Sabbath day.
Here's part of the story from the Bible. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him."
They must have felt very confused. 2 days before, they had watched Jesus as he was nailed to the cross. They had seen him die. They had followed Joseph of Arimathea when he took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in the linen cloth and placed it in the tomb. There was no doubt in their minds that Jesus was dead.
Yes, and the women didn't come to the tomb that morning to anoint a live body, but a dead body. That's why they brought those spices, to help cover the smell of a decomposing body. But let's continue the story. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. When the other disciple reached the tomb, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
Just imagine how they must have felt. It's clear that the women and the disciples saw the empty tomb. Let's continue with the story.
Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She thought he was the gardener. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, because I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene ran off to find the disciples and told them the wonderful news. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her.
Do you think the disciples believed Mary right away?
Oh, I don't think so.
As you listen to the story, you might wonder, why did Jesus have to die?
Jesus went through all this misery and shame so that we might live forever. He died to take the punishment for the wrongs that we have done.
Mary and the disciples were amazed that day to find that Jesus had come alive again.
And the Bible tells us that Jesus still lives today in heaven with his Father. Remember what he said to Mary? He said, "Don't hold on to me, because I have not yet returned to the Father." And then he told her to find his brothers and tell them that he said, "I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." we can find comfort knowing that if we believe in Him, we too can live again after we die here on earth. The Bible says, too, that in God's presence, there will be gladness and joy forever. Can you imagine that? Never again will there ever be any lonely moments. No more crying in secret, and no more grief and loss or pain.
And to think, if we believe in Jesus, the living God, we need not be afraid to die. We will be able to live in the presence of the Almighty God.
Jesus is alive. This is the reason we celebrate each Easter. As the angel at the tomb said, "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has come alive." The women who saw Jesus die also saw Him alive, and they believed. We can believe the witness of those who saw Him, and this is the good news.
And you know what? Even today, you and I can experience the presence and power of the living God. As He comforts us in our grief and loss, as He listens to our prayers and answers them, let's say thank you to God for this new life that we can have in Jesus. You can join me if you'd like to. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to this earth, to live here, and to die, to take the punishment for the wrong things we've done. We thank you that we can celebrate this Easter, that He came alive again, and that He lives with you in heaven. We pray for those who are grieving today. Please comfort them. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Please contact us if you would like to know more or to ask any questions.
We would love to hear from you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is womenofhope@twr.org. That's womenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.